Welcome to Dietitians Uncorked, a podcast hosted by Kat and Kelly, two registered dietitians who co-founded Nutriving, a virtual nutrition practice. We talk all things food, nutrition, life, and of course, wine. This is a judgment-free zone where all foods fit and all bodies are welcome. Thanks for listening. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Dietitians Uncorked. We are happy you are here. I want to do two quick announcements. One is we are taking new clients on one-on-one space, and we are getting ready to launch our group service, our group program. So be sure to check that out on our website, www.newtriving.com. And I want to do a little shout out. We've never done this, but we do know where our listeners are tuning in from. So if you are listening in from the state of Virginia, if you're in Washington or Ashburn, we just want to give you a big shout out because that is where some of our listeners are tuning in. Kind of a big percentage. So if you're also tuning in from North Carolina, if you're from Charlotte, Hendersonville, or Indian Trail, we just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. And if you are tuning in from Nashville, Tennessee, we also are sending you a big warm hug and just a big ol' thank you for tuning in. We will be doing some of these shout outs. So if you live somewhere far and your city gets called out, please let us know. We'd love to know where you are tuning in from, and if you're getting a little shout out, a little love. Today's episode is an episode all about game changers in the kitchen. We are really excited, probably more excited than most people would get about this topic, but we just have a lot to say. And before we get into it, of course, I want to know, Kelly, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really well. Excited to be recording with you. This episode came up after Kat and I were talking through a few different things we've discussed with clients as of late, and we just realized like this would be so good to share with our listeners because there's a lot of really good tips, and especially if you can, you know, implement them in your life, it can make a really big difference. So I am very excited about our topic today, so that makes me happy. In terms of our drinks, we always go over before we start. Kat, today I think I've had this on the podcast before, but it's like my go-to Cabernet Sauvignon if I'm buying it at the grocery store. So it's by Slow Press in Paso Robles, California. It's just a 2016 cab, really good price point for like a grocery store wine and never disappoints. You'd love it.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Love grocery store wine. They're just very accessible, which is how wine should be.
Exactly.
Very accessible. I don't really know how to describe what I'm drinking.
Doesn't sound like a good start.
No. Well, I think it depends on your preference. So I am drinking a rosé that's also a cider. And it reminds me of kombucha, which is not what I was hoping this would be. You know what I mean? Like, I guess I had in mind a different flavor profile. And I don't know. If you love kombucha, you might really love something like this. But if you were hoping more of a rosé or more of a cider kind of taste, I don't know. This was a gamble. So I don't necessarily want to. They're a small company, and I don't want to say the name because I think that they're doing really cool stuff. It's just maybe this bottle wasn't really for me.
Mm-hmm. It's hard when you have a certain expectation about what something will taste like, and then, you know, the reality is different. But, yeah. You know, we love trying new things. You never know what your new favorite is going to be.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, talk to me about this topic of game changers in the kitchen. Like, I know you and I both love cooking. We love food. There's much that we can say about this, but what makes this topic important, you think?
Yeah. So Kat and I have come up with, and we might do a part two of this episode because it was kind of difficult to narrow it down. But today we are going to share with you 7 tips, 7 game changers in the kitchen. So things that Kat and I have shared with clients that have really resonated with them and just helped them so much in accomplishing, you know, achieving their health goals, creating routines around food and around, you know, prepping meals and snacks that really stick and like feel sustainable and feel helpful. So both of us really wanted to share this episode because it's so fun to see clients, you know, find something that to them, maybe when they first hear it, they're like, oh yeah, that makes sense, right? That's simple enough. But, you know, sometimes putting it into practice can be difficult. Like that's the other half of the equation, right? Which is something mm-hmm. that you and I work very closely with. That's really helpful in one-on-one setting. It's really helpful to not only get the idea, but also get, you know, the support, the accountability, the follow through. So this is kind of like step one, but Kat and I were just super excited about these game changers in the kitchen to share. So I'll start off with our first one. Our first game changer is looking maybe towards the beginning of the week, Sunday or Monday or whenever for you, you know, your week begins in your mind, and making a batch of something. So maybe a batch of grains like rice or quinoa or pasta. Maybe you want to make naan or something like that, or beans, maybe a protein like a chicken or shrimp, a fish dish, or roasted vegetables, just like some food item that you can prepare in a batch and have multiple portions ready to be used throughout the week. And we've seen this be really successful with clients because sometimes they'll come to us and have these visions of like meal planning and, you know, having each meal super well laid out. You know, Monday I'm going to eat this, Tuesday I'm going to eat that, Wednesday this. And for a lot of people, that's just not a realistic, you know, game plan. Mm-hmm. It doesn't last very long. And so we've had a lot of people recently with success at this mindset. So it's a type of meal planning, but it's a little looser, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Provides a little flexibility.
Yeah. Do you do any of, like, do you prep us, you know, certain foods as of late, or how do you approach this one?
Oh, totally. I absolutely do this, especially because and I talk this a lot with clients as well, like when you have that window of starting to think about food, maybe like distantly, like kind of feeling a little hungry and then starting to really be hungry. And then eventually like you're hangry and now your stomach is growling and you're just like not thinking straight. That window on a busy day can seem like 5 seconds went by and you were just like kind of thinking about food and all of a sudden you're just starving. And I have mm-hmm. those days often. So for me, it's important that I give myself a little love from the beginning of the week to kind of give me some tools, some ways of making a healthy nutrition meal without having to start from zero. So one of the mm-hmm. things I do is I will make quinoa or I will make rice in a big portion on Sundays. I love salad bowls, like a combination of a ton of veggies and a grain and a protein. But just, for example, just making quinoa in advance, that helps me so that whenever I go into the kitchen and whatever meal I'm making, I know I have a grain that's ready to, I just need to heat it up or just add it onto the plate. It's done. Mm-hmm. I don't have to start from zero, which is lovely.
Yeah, it really makes it so much faster. And I think it also makes it easier to make a better, more healthful decision at your mealtime. Like you said, when you get to that hangry level or you're just really short on time, it is so helpful to have at least some component prepared so that you don't have to do everything, you know, from scratch each time. So yeah. That is a really helpful tip and something we've seen a lot of people be excited over because it's a little bit mm-hmm. more approachable and it's just easier to do than the full out meal plan. Related, our game changer number 2 is either making or buying a salad dressing that, like, you really love. Like, it makes you want to eat salad. Like, that's the level of love that you need to get to, right? Because if you're just buying one that, or making one that you feel so about, that doesn't quite motivate one to want to, like, shovel salad in your mouth. But there are dressings that do it for you. So, like, for me, I tend to, like, rotate them. But one that I really love is actually on our website. It's a cilantro lime dressing. So it's made with, like, yogurt, a little bit of mayonnaise, cilantro, lime, of course. And it just does it for me. You know, it mm-hmm. literally makes me want to eat more salad because it's so good. Mm-hmm. Do you have any recent favorites?
My mouth just watered. And I'm thinking about salad dressing. That's the level of love she's talking about, you know, that you're like, ugh. I do. I also alternate, so I try not to overuse one if I feel like I'm getting a little tired, just because, you know, having the same salad dressing every day, it's just, you know, overkill. But
for sure,
something you may not know about Jelaine's is I am a family. Is if you're just tuning in, you're like, what the hell did she just start talking about Jelaine's? But we love lemons, like lemon juice. It's like we don't season our vegetables literally with anything else unless it's lemon, olive oil, and salt. It's really simple dressing, but it's just delicious and it's fresh and it's awesome. So for some salads, that to me, it's perfectly A-okay. And then some other times I really love a little bit more like an avocado, kind of more of a ranchy, more creamy side of a salad dressing. I do enjoy those very, very much.
Mm-hmm. There's a lemon vinaigrette. It's by What's Gabi Cooking. Have you heard of her?
Oh, yeah.
She has like quite a few cookbooks. But she has a lemon vinaigrette that is not quite as simple. There's like shallots in it. I think there's red wine vinegar. Maybe like Dijon mustard as well. It's a little more involved, but it keeps really well. Like anything that keeps well in the fridge, you know, for a week or so. Best friend. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that something, you know, sometimes something more simple, like what you were talking about, just lemon juice, olive oil, salt, pepper. It really helps the flavors of the vegetables or whatever you're dressing really come through, which can be nice too.
Yeah, I mean, I love to have that basic, and you can build on top of it, right? Like, if you wanted something sweeter, you can add a little honey. If you wanted some mustard, which I'm loving these days, just adding a little kick to it. God, me too. Me too.
I have about five types right now in the house, which my husband is not thrilled about.
That's funny. I'm really enjoying mustard these days. I also feel like I'm getting to a point of salad dressing making that I'm kind of fearless these days. Like, I'm just going to add a little more and add a little this and add a little that. And it's like the freedom that brings me, it's a joyful moment for me because I'm not afraid of adding things to my salad dressing, which, you know, I have to say, like, I don't know that many people feel that way about salad dressing or just like sauces in general, because a lot of people are afraid of the fat content and of the condiments and like combination of condiments that they're going to make them ill. And I'm feeling very grateful of my knowledge, my training, and just my personal philosophy on nutrition. Our philosophy on nutrition makes me happy.
Me too. We are a big sauce household. And this conversation, I have not made a dressing yet this week, and this conversation is really making me excited to go in the kitchen and make
That's
one.
Wonderful.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I will do number three on our list. Buying pre-chopped vegetables or chopping them all at once. This, to me, is it's a big one. I think there was a period in my life where I felt a little shame about buying pre-cut things or like ready to go, you know, whatever, because they were more expensive than buying the vegetable uncut and, you know, unwashed and whatnot. And these days I'm like, oh, who cares? if I can afford it and it helps me feel mm-hmm. like I'm more prone to having a healthier lunch if I have this ready to go versus not, then God, that seems like a no-brainer. But I used to feel bad about it. I used to legit feel bad about it. Something I kind of do as well is if I'm buying a piece of vegetable or something that may go bad, or I know I won't have the time to chop it up or whatever, I might dedicate an afternoon to, you know, having it prepped and ready. If it means maybe cutting it and not washing it until I'm ready to use it, or if it means it'll keep okay if I wash it, but it's just kind of there for me to scoop it out and add it to whatever dish, I find that to be so helpful. Mm-hmm. One thing, for example, is celery. I absolutely love celery, and I use it a lot for soups, for salads. I feel that celery can bring a lot of crunch to a salad, which is just fun. I don't love chopping celery. It takes me a long time. And sometimes I go to the fresh market and I buy these like celeries that are just ginormous, which I love, and that the smell of fresh celery is great. But oh my God, I am not going to sit there for, you know, 30 minutes just like chopping it really finely and making sure it's clean. So I might take some time and do that in the beginning of the week, or I might just buy it pre-cut mm-hmm. and it's just as good. I will actually consume it before it goes bad because it's been untouched because I don't have time to cook, you know, to chop it or clean it, whatever. It is such a good idea to do it. So if you can afford it, if there's a vegetable that you are more likely to consume, if it's pre-cut and ready for you to just grab and go, you got to do it, mm-hmm. you know? Nutrition self-care.
Yeah.
For me, buy that pre-cut celery.
Right. Do it, girl. Uh-huh. Guy, whoever. For me, it's green beans. For a long time, like you, I would only buy, you know, to save money, I would not buy the pre-cut version. But green beans, cutting off the ends of them, I cannot. Like, I don't have I cook a lot. Like, love being in the kitchen. But that task just irritates the shit out of me. And so when I finally let myself buy the bag where they're already pre-trimmed and you don't have to do that, now we eat them, you know, probably once a week or a few times a month, I would say, because I love the taste of them. I just hated cutting the ends off. And yeah. I feel really happy about, you know, making that move. So whatever it is for you, you know, thinking about, would the pre-cut version help me eat more of this? Like, is this something I want to eat more of? Because that's a signal, you know. If your answer is yes, then it's worth it for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Our fourth game changer is putting produce in clear containers. So maybe a produce box, maybe a plastic container that you have. Kat and I both recently started using stasher bags, which are like clear Ziplocs, but reusable version, which we love. Anything that makes it easier for you to grab. And every time you open the fridge, you can see it. So when we see something, that is a cue, a visual cue for you to eat that. So if there are fruits or vegetables that you're trying to eat more of, instead of hiding them in the back of the fridge or, you know, shoving them somewhere where mm-hmm. maybe you don't go all the time in the fridge, you want to make it front and center, really make it the star of your fridge, make it clear so that you can see it, and then you're going to be more likely to reach for it. Especially, kind of like our last tip, if it's pre-cut, if it's easier for you to eat, you're going to be more likely to do it, especially on a day when you're short on time. Mm-hmm. This always makes me think, like my mom, when we were little, she used to, like watermelon, for example, she would buy a watermelon, a whole watermelon, and she would cut it up and she would put it in a clear container and then everyone would eat it. But like no mm-hmm. one else would cut up a whole freaking watermelon, you know? So I always tell myself, like, treat myself like my mom treated us, you know, when we were little, because she made it so much easier for us to grab foods. And she did that, obviously, because she wanted us, you know, to eat fruits and vegetables. But that is a principle that, you know, keeps going your whole life. If you can make it easier for yourself, make it obvious, you're going to be more likely to grab that food.
Oh my gosh. I'm just thinking of like the half of my fridge that isn't in a clear container, it's like mystery food. I know I'm the one that put it there, you know, sometimes, even just when you're thinking about like, oh, what do I have to eat? I'm kind of hungry, whatever. And you're kind of scanning, trying to recall what you have. Those mystery containers can grow moldy much quicker than the clear ones, for sure. Oh, my God. I got to tell you about this. Our number five is how to keep herbs on hand.
I struggle with this.
Yes, I love herbs. I love, well, I'm Latina, so, you know, cilantro is like very basic part of your kitchen seasonings, or just really, we add it to everything. We have our own like pico de gallo, which is called pebre. We add it to salads, we add it to meats, we add it to salt. It's just part of everyday kind of a food. So cilantro, I love basil, I love parsley. I mean, just, but what ends up happening a lot, which I really don't like this, but for a long time, if I didn't use all of it for something, then it would just start getting wilted, and then it would just go bad really quickly. And so I kind of got on this journey to try to find the best way to keep it for the longest. So sometimes
I'm on that journey right now, so I'm very excited to hear what you're about to say.
I feel like Regina George, who just like pulled up and be like, get in the car, bitch, we're going shopping. That, but of like the herbs. So I bought the herbs, like for example, basil. I would buy it with the actual bulb or like roots at the bottom and put it in water and see if that worked. It didn't. What I did is this took time, I would buy an herb and then cut it up, like wash it, and then dry it completely, and then put it around a paper towel in a glass jar in my fridge. That lasted okay. That's a pretty solid method, but the latest thing I've done has seriously changed the game. I have parsley in my fridge that is like coming on to 3 weeks.
Get out.
Maybe even longer now that I think about it. At least 3 weeks.
Almost a month.
I know. And what? It's perfectly fine.
What are you doing?
So here's what I do. I wash the parsley. I don't cut it up. I just wash it and I dry it completely. Mm-hmm. And that's important. And then on a damp paper towel, a long one, I lay out all the stems side by side. There could be some overlap, but not too much. The damp paper towel, then I roll it up like a little cinnamon cigar. Roll? I don't know. Cigar? Uh-huh. My mind, sugar, your tobacco. What?
I don't smoke cigars. I don't know why I thought that. Nor have I ever rolled one.
Yeah, I'm but not I have sure the last time rolls. I rolled a cinnamon roll. But anyway, you roll it up and you keep the green leaves in the damp paper towel. Like, you know, you don't want it spilling over on the outside. Mm-hmm. And you keep that in a plastic bag. And that's it.
So the stems are like sticking out the bottom?
Yes, the stems are sticking out the bottom. The actual leafy part that you want to consume is laying on this damp paper towel.
In a plastic bag that's sealed?
That's sealed. Mm-hmm.
So you do this with parsley and cilantro?
I've done it with parsley and cilantro. Oh, no, and basil. I've done it with parsley, cilantro, and basil.
The same
cilantro
method.
Same method. Cilantro has lasted me the longest. Mm-hmm. Also, I have to say, in my experimental herb keeping in the refrigerator, parsley was the only one that I dried completely and then put it on the damp. I did this with basil, and I didn't dry it all the way, and those leaves
wilted.
Yeah, got wilted. But after like a week and a half, so it still lasted me
mm-hmm.
a while, just not 3 weeks, but
wow. gotta tell ya. I am so glad we are talking about this. I have been, like you, experimenting with a bunch of different methods for a while, and I have settled on, which you mentioned, like putting them in a glass of water, like in the fridge. So I did mm-hmm. that for a while and just left it open. So it's kind of like looks like a bouquet of flowers, right?
Uh-huh.
I put that in the fridge with nothing over it, and it was okay. Like, I would say, I don't know, maybe yeah. like a week. It depended on the batch. But then I read that you should put something over it. So I put, like, I cut a Ziploc and I cut the, what do you call it? Like, the opening part. I cut that mm-hmm. off, and then I cut kind of, like, little holes around so it could breathe. So it's like a little cap, like a shower cap, mm-hmm. but with holes mm-hmm. in it. And I put it over. So I've been doing that with both parsley and cilantro, which in our household is not going over well because, you know, it's awkward, like, to store in the fridge
yeah.
to have, like, an open jar of water. And it's lasting okay, but I find that you have to change the water. Like, if you change the water more frequently, it does last longer. But it still sounds like an inferior method compared to what you're describing. So I'm going to switch. You have convinced me.
Honestly, it's change how I do dressings in my, or like how I do salads, because now I have herbs that last mm-hmm. me for this long. And so I'm not throwing things away, feeling really bad about it. Right. And I am utilizing the whole plant. I bought this parsley. It was ginormous. And I was really sad that it might not last this long. This was like, I've Googled this like 100 times, but I've tried several methods, and I just feel like, okay, we're going to give this one a try and see. And it's worked wonderfully.
I am so excited. I hope our listeners are as jazzed about herb storage as we are.
I doubt it.
It can make a really big difference, though. Like, adding garnishes like that on salads or on meals, whether it's herbs or, like, sprinkling, you know, chopped nuts or, like, a little bit of cheese or sesame seeds, sauces, like we talked about, that really just can add so much to your meals, which anytime, you know, something tastes good and it's more satisfying to you, you're going to want it again, right?
Exactly.
So the whole purpose of sharing these game changers was really to help people experiment a little bit and find ways that make being in the kitchen more fun, helps them eat more of the foods that they're trying to eat. Wow, that was revolutionary. We should have ended with that one. That was
we should have
really important,
especially because I'm like sitting on the edge of my seat, like, oh my god,
I this literally has changed am the on way. The edge of my seat. As we're talking,
I'm telling you, I haven't eaten this many herbs for this long from the same bag that I bought in a very long time. So that makes me feel great.
Wow. Well, I am going to switch today. We do have two more game changers for you, though. So game changer number 6, really take a little bit of time and try to organize, you know, your kitchen, your fridge, maybe your pantry, wherever you're reaching to more often. If you spend a little bit of time organizing it to make items that you want to eat more of, make them more easily accessible, that can be a really big game changer because, again, you're kind of reducing those barriers. So if every time you go to find something to eat, even if you just, you know, it's in there, but you don't know where it is, that mm-hmm. nothing drives me more crazy than like going to cook or going to prepare leftovers and not being able to find it and having to, you know, pull a lot of shit out before I get what I want. I feel like, you know, if you've had a long day, like, you're just, maybe it's a more stressful day, the last thing you need is to be like rifling through things. And again, it's about removing that barrier. So if you can, it does take, you know, some investment, some time up front to organize a little bit, but if it makes every other time you go to the kitchen a little bit easier, that can really be a game changer again and help you eat more of the foods that you want.
Totally. I've tried this sort of strategy with some of my clients who really want to eat a specific vegetable, but they forget that it's there or don't really think about it because it's a vegetable that they're not used to consuming. And usually the vegetable drawer, the produce drawer, is all the way at the bottom of the fridge, usually. And sometimes when you're putting lots of things in there or bags or whatever, you don't remember exactly what you have going on in your fridge. And so I've discussed with some of my clients, like, hey, let's make a plan so that whatever you're wanting to include this week, you put it more at eye level. You put it closer to a shelf that you visit often, you know, or if you're wanting to cook it with eggs, put it next to the eggs. And I know it doesn't seem like the best organization, like from what we think our fridge needs to look like, but honestly, it's about whatever priority you want to have, whatever you want to consume. And just like when you're trying to remember to take a new medication and you have to set an alarm, it's okay to put things that you kind of want to be more intentional about in a more obvious, more easily reachable, like just right at eye level. Totally fine. Who says you have to put peppers in the bottom of the drawer? You can put the peppers next to your eggs, and that way you remember to make that delicious omelet you were hoping.
Exactly. There are no rules. You just do no rules. What works for you.
Your rules. We're at number 7, which is freeze cook ready portions. And this is one I actually use often. I don't know about you, but I absolutely hate cutting onions, kind of like your green bean situation. Mm-hmm. I don't like cutting onions. It makes my hands smell like onions. It makes me cry. I feel like I look at a whole onion and I think, ugh. Like sometimes I'll say, I'm just not putting an onion in this, even though the recipe calls for it, even though it's going to make it taste so much better, the smell of cooking onion is going to be amazing. I just don't want to go there. So something I do and something I learned in college is onion does super well in the freezer.
Really?
And if you, yeah, but like don't stick the whole onion in there because that's not going to be good. Cut it into, like, dice an onion. Half the recipes I use say, you know, in a pot, put half an onion, diced onion in there, whatever. So cut it the way you normally utilize it, like especially if you're making a sauce or a soup or something like that. You can freeze it in like a one onion to half an onion portion, depending on however often you're using or the portion you're using. And if you just dice it and then put it in a freezer-safe bag and you freeze it, it keeps forever. And then if you need to just make something really quickly, you could just throw it in the pot and it cooks almost just as quickly as if it was raw. So you don't have to wait to thaw forever and then use it. I have used frozen onions into a dish for raw, as like cooking them raw. You do have to wait till they obviously, and then dry them because they're going to be a little wet. But if you're putting them in a sauce or in a soup or something like that, it's super, super easy. And you have the portion ready. Another one I do, I freeze peeling your ginger and put it in the freezer is so easy because it lasts forever. And then if you're grating it, it's almost easier to grate it when it's frozen than when it's fresh. I mean, when it's fresh, it can get a little mushy and it can be harder to grate. But if it's frozen, it's so, so easy. But using this trick for things that you already know you're going to be consuming, it can help you so, so much. One, to not waste food. But two, to just make it easier when you are short on time and are hoping to eat something a little bit more nutrition dense.
For sure. I've done the ginger every time now after you shared that. I don't mind onions as much. I actually kind of enjoy dicing them. They don't make me cry, so I don't know what's wrong with me there. But tomato paste, I did it for a long time. If I bought it in a can, I would scoop out tablespoon portions, like in little balls, and then freeze them and then, you know, put them in a Ziploc once they're frozen so they don't like meld together. But that way you can pull out, you know, one or two, whatever the recipe calls for. And then they invented that tube which is truly a game changer. Whoever came up with that, thank you.
Genius.
The tube. It's somebody who actually
cooks with toothpaste.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Who needs a massive can of tomato paste when you're using one to two tablespoons? And then what are you supposed to do? Just put the can in the fridge and hope that you're using the next...
that's why I was doing the whole freezer method. But, you know, it was a little time-consuming. So thank you to whoever invented the tube, because I greatly appreciate that.
Big thanks.
Another example would be, like, meat products, right? If you buy in bulk, like chicken or whatever type of meat, a ground meat, maybe fish. I usually kind of divide and conquer there, too.
Yeah, and it's a great way to prevent food spoilage. Mm-hmm. Also, sometimes weeks just take a different turn than you were hoping or expecting, and maybe you were hoping to cook something, and it was in the fridge. Now you can put it in the freezer, and then you don't have to think about or, like, mourn the loss of that food. You can just freeze it, and it's wonderful.
Exactly. Freezers are godsends. Like, there's so many things you can freeze. So we hope that us sharing these 7 game changers in the kitchen today, we hope it maybe gave you some inspiration or something that you could see yourself trying. So we hope you enjoyed this episode. We are thinking of doing a part 2 since we talk about stuff like this all the time with our clients. So stay tuned for that and other exciting episodes. We will be back next week with a brand new episode for you. If you've been listening to us and you're liking what we're putting out there, we would so greatly appreciate it if you would leave a review for our podcast. We are, you know, still newer, so it really helps us reach more ears who might be interested in listening. Thank you so much for tuning in. We so appreciate you taking the time to spend with us, and we can't wait to see you next week. Bye.
Bye.